Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Relationships Rock. We are getting ready to end season one. If you haven't heard, there is one more episode after this, a season finale coming to you next week with a really special guest, which I'm so excited about. And really just looking back at the whole season, it has been incredible. As I'm sure you guys know by now, I really live by the phrase, open all the doors and let Hashem close the ones that are not for you. And this is one of the doors that I opened, and I am so honored and so thankful to Hashem, of course, first and foremost, and to all of you listeners who have spread the word. And literally without any social media, without any ads or marketing, this episode has grown because of, you know, just literally word of mouth. So thank you to everyone who partook in this. But today, I wanted to do just like a fun episode, a little bit more lighthearted. And I was reading the news, which is honestly nowadays not really so fun or lighthearted. But I keep seeing all these articles about The Little Mermaid. Now, if you guys don't know what The Little Mermaid is, it is a Disney classic, which I, for better or for worse, probably for worse, grew up on. And they decided to do a remake, 2023 remake of Little Mermaid. And for a bunch of reasons, it seems to be controversial. The truth is that I haven't watched the film. I haven't gone into a movie theater in, I want to say, over a decade. The last movie I saw in theaters was, drumroll, Harry Potter, obviously. And it was the best. I literally never missed a Harry Potter opening night. I used to go with my friends. We would dress up. I personally never brought a broom with me, but I did have friends who did. But really, since I haven't gone back to a movie theater, so I haven't seen the movie, but I have fun memories of the movie because I grew up on it, and it really is a Disney classic. Like I said, for better or for worse, because the reality is that everything that we see, everything that we're exposed to, obviously impacts our thoughts and our expectations and what we want in a relationship. And when you're a little girl and you grow up, you know, looking at Disney movies and having all these concepts in your head, you kind of start to expect that to happen in real life. And, you know, it's funny because when I speak to girls, they always say the same thing. Oh, I want Midos. I want this. I want that. And then when you send them a guy who has all of that, right, the feedback is, well, you know, like, I didn't feel sparks. Like, I just think I'm going to know when I meet them. I literally want to challenge all of the listeners here to ask yourself, do you think deep down that you're going to just know when you meet the right person? And I think even if people say, no, I don't expect that, deep down, sometimes not even that deep, they really do. They really feel like, I'm just going to know, like, I'm going to meet them, and it's going to be this boom, clarity of, this is the person I am meant to spend the rest of my life with. And where do these ideas come from? You guessed it. Disney. One of those is The Little Mermaid. So today we're going to talk about The Little Mermaid as an example of the whole princess mentality, really Disney princess mentality, that has impacted so many of us and that has really infiltrated even very yeshivish and closed circles. So for those of you that have not been fortunate to have watched The Little Mermaid as a kid, and I think really you are the fortunate one. There's actually a song in Little Mermaid called Unfortunate Souls. Wow. I mean, I literally foreshadowing here, right? Unfortunate souls who get exposed to this stuff. So the basic premise for The Little Mermaid is as follows. There is a mermaid who is a princess. Her father is the king of the seas, right? All of the oceans. She grows up with a lot of privilege. I know that's like a trigger word nowadays, but she does. And she really has everything that she could ever possibly want, but she's super interested in the unknown, specifically in what happens above the sea, what happens in the land. And she starts collecting, you know, all these artifacts from shipwrecks. And, you know, she has the classic, you know, the Little Mermaid classic of like a fork, and she like uses it to brush her hair because she doesn't know what it's for. And she literally has like a cave under the water in a hidden place that her father does not know about, with all of these human artifacts. And she just wants to know what humans are like, what that world is like. She wants to be part of that world. That's also one of the Disney songs. So one night, she hears fireworks, really. I don't know if you could hear from under the water with all the water pressure fireworks, but I guess she sees them. And she goes up to see what's happening. And that's where she sees Prince Eric. And it is literally love at first sight. I mean, there are fireworks. Like, there are literal fireworks in the background. And she just sees him. At this point, she doesn't even know his name. She doesn't know if he has good mido. She doesn't know anything about him, but she just sees him. And she's like, whoa, that is the love of my life. She falls in love with him right away. And like I said, there are literal fireworks. And something happens. I don't remember, to be honest, if one of the fireworks catches on fire. But something happens where the ship goes on fire or something. Am I, like, anyone who's listening can just chime in. I mean, I won't be able to hear you, but I guess we could pretend we're having a conversation. The point is that the ship starts to go on fire and stuff starts to break and people are starting to die and go into the water. So she goes and saves Prince Eric's life, right? Because she's a really good swimmer, kind of comes with the territory of being a mermaid. So she saves his life, swims him to shore, which is forbidden for her. She's not allowed to go above the sea. It could be very dangerous for mermaids. Anyone listening here, do not try this at home. And she sings to him. She's singing to him. Of course, she's a Disney princess. They all sing for everything. And he falls in love with her just because of her voice, just because she sang. Again, he doesn't even know her name, nothing. It is literally love at first sight. She saw fireworks. He heard a beautiful voice and he saw a beautiful face. And then before somebody comes to find him, I think it was like a person with a dog, his dog, she jumps back in the water. I just want to say a side point. I'm really impressed with my memory skills. I haven't watched this movie since I was like a little kid. Anyway, so she goes back under the water and her father ends up finding out that she saved a man's life and that she has this whole collection of human artifacts. I don't know who's still with me here, but hi. Thank you for listening about The Little Mermaid. I promise to you that there is a point, like a deep meaning to this. I really do believe actually you can find deep meaning in almost anything. Maybe I should do a Harry Potter one time. I'm just saying, very, very deep. So he destroys everything. She's heartbroken. And again, this is the love of her life. So she ends up going to this witch, Ursula, who is an octopus woman. I guess like there's mer people and then there's octopi people. I'm not really sure what the technical name is. And she makes a deal with her that she will give her legs. She will let her go to the land, be able to walk and breathe there and everything, on one condition, that she takes her voice in exchange. So Ariel, who's a little mermaid, says yes. She swims up. She has legs finally. And she meets Prince Eric. Now, she only has 3 days. I forgot to mention this. 3 days to get him to fall in love with her. And to have a first kiss. Of course, that's, you know, again, Disney movies, and that will break the spell. And if he does do that, if it's a true love's kiss after 3 days, before the end of 3 days, then they will live happily ever after and she could stay above the land forever and ever. So this is where I'm going to start a little bit with my commentary, if you haven't heard some of my sarcasm from before. So here Ariel is willing to give up her life, the life that she knows, anything that is familiar to her, for an unknown, for a guy that she doesn't even know his name, knows nothing about, because she saw fireworks, literally, and she gives up her tail, and she gives up her voice, and she goes up, and she meets him, and she thinks it's going to be so easy for him to fall in love with her after 3 days, and then she'll have legs forever. I mean, there's so much here, you know? There's the concept of things are always greener on the other side, or as I heard and I love, the grass is always greener where you water it. And, you know, giving up who you are, giving up your identity for true love. I don't think true love requires you to give up anything, to be honest. And I want to add something else on the whole true love's kiss, which is literally in every Disney movie, which it gives this false perception that if you would really love each other, the whole physical relationship is going to be just, you know, easy shmeezy, you know, automatic fireworks. And that's actually not true. And I think, again, these are all these subtle messages that we got as kids from these movies. And, you know, I think nowadays maybe, you know, maybe there are people who are being more strict with Disney, but I know growing up, and I think a lot of people, even if they grew up quote unquote more yeshivish, I happen to not, but unfortunately I watched a lot of TV, but if somebody did grow up, you know, more yeshivish, they still were watching Disney, you know, and it's all these subtle messages. And I know I'm using The Little Mermaid as an example, but I think just there are a lot of these subtle messages in a lot of the movies that we see, you know, and a lot of the things that we're exposed to. I did a whole episode 17, on what guys are exposed to, Chas v'Shalom, and how that influences. And I think for girls, this whole Disney mentality, this Disney princess mentality also impacts you in such negative ways, because it gives this, you know, false idea deep, deep down inside. This is what everyone expects. It's fireworks. I'm going to meet him. I'm just going to know. I don't even need to know his name. I don't even need to know anything about him. It's just going to be click and boom. And that physical aspect will also be fireworks. And then when they get to reality, then what I've seen happen is girls will say no to great guys because there were no fireworks, or I didn't feel it, and trust me, I'm gonna know. Or they're dating him, and then guess what? He's not perfect. It's a shocker to people, you know? We're humans. No one is perfect. And, you know, they go out, and it's like, wow, this person's not perfect. And then they get married, and then they reach out to me, and they're like, wait a second, the whole physical aspect is not perfect either. And, you know, a lot of this comes from that. Another point I want to make, which is really important, is, you know, the whole idea of sacrificing for love. This is really big, because I think that, especially in the more yeshivish circles, where you have the whole concept of sacrificing for Torah learning, which Torah learning is beautiful, and it does create like a beautiful environment in your home. But when the focus becomes, you know, like even when we hear the story of Rachel and Rabbi Akiva, my name is Rachel. I'm super connected to the name Rachel. I love that story. There's actually a book that's my favorite called And Rachel Was His Wife. It's beautifully written. I don't believe it has like an author, it's like anonymously written or something like that, but it's really beautiful. And it's all based on Gemaras, and you really get a sense of like that time period. And as much as I love that story, I've always been a little bit bothered by how it's presented to girls, because it's almost this concept of you are meant to suffer for Torah. And I just don't believe that Hashem wants us to suffer. And I know I've mentioned this before in my status, when people say, you know, someone said to me, like, maybe I have to cry a little bit more and do more segulot so Hashem will give me what I want. And it's like, why would Hashem want you to cry? Like, who are we talking about? Like, God doesn't want you to suffer. Of course in life there's work. Of course there is, to an extent, discomfort, right? But sacrifice, the whole being a martyr thing, it just doesn't sit right with me. And I think a lot of times these movies really do give this impact of, for true love, people are able to do anything and everything. Look, I've had conversations with girls that say to me, well, you know, like when we get married, you know, if you really love somebody, you're going to do for them whatever it is they ask. So like, if I say, well, I don't like that, they're just going to stop doing it because they love me. And they don't even hear how crazy that sounds, right? Like, no, we don't manipulate with love. We don't control with love. That is very negative, right? You don't tell somebody, if you love me, you will do X, Y, and Z. And I think that whole Disney mentality is the person will change for love. Love has this magical, transformative power. And even though I do think love is super important, beginning with loving yourself, I think love is a choice. That sounds super unromantic when I say it out loud, but I mean it in the most romantic way. When you tell someone, I love you, what you're saying is, I am committed to you. I am committed to working on this. I'm committed to giving to you, even when I don't want to. You know, if you think of the concept, I once heard this, you know, we never fall out of love with our kids. Never. I've never heard a parent say, I have fallen out of love with my kids. But yet, we do that with the person that we chose, right? We choose out the husband and the wife from a ton of people. We dated. We did a whole rigorous process to make sure this person is it. And yet people say, but I fell out of love. But then with your kid that you have literally no control over, like you don't even know what they're going to look like, and they can come with a ton of flaws because they're human, we never say, I fall out of love. It's this eternal, everlasting love forever. So it's an interesting concept to think about. And I think as it boils down to, love is a choice. And when we say, I love you, we're saying, I am committed to you forever. Now, I could go on to like other Disney movies. I still kind of like, I'm a little embarrassed that I'm doing a whole episode on Little Mermaid. And to any guy who's listening, like, I'm sorry that I walked you through the entire film, I guess, to the extent that I remember it from many, many years ago. But I think the concept is still there, right? And it's holding on to these images and ideas and these novels and these books. And just to be aware of like what you're being exposed to, and to really And I think this is what I try to do in coaching in general. You know, when people say like, this is my expectation. So let's analyze it. Where's the expectation coming from? What is it going to feel like? You know, when people say to me, I'm going to feel fireworks. I'm like, okay. So describe to me what you're going to feel. And a lot of times it's like, well, I don't know what I'm going to feel. Like when I feel it, I'll know it. Well, how do you know what you're going to feel if you haven't felt it before? And I think it's going through that process that allows us to give people a chance. So I also want to take the opportunity in this episode to announce some really cool things that I'm doing in the summer. As I mentioned, I think in the beginning of the episode, we're going to be taking a break between season one and season two. We're going to come back with Relationships Rock season two in the fall. So I'm super excited about that. And in the summer, I'm going to be doing workshops. Right now, I have two workshops that I'm working on. One is going to be a dating workshop for the ladies, and it's going to be about tapping into your feminine energy, just really, you know, attracting, loving yourself, all the practical steps. It's really going to be interactive, amazing. I am so excited about it. And the second workshop I'm going to be working on is actually an intimacy workshop for newlyweds, for also for the ladies. And it's going to be about just creating the physical relationship that you want. And I'm also really excited about that. And by the way, if anyone's listening and you're like, you know what, I don't really want to do it in a group session, I'm always available and welcome to do it one-on-one. I'm going to put the links below in the description for both workshops. I want to end off with a quote from Harry Potter. It does not do to dwell on dreams and forget to live. We all have dreams. We all have this fairy tale where we expect things to happen. But it does not do to forget to live. What I want you guys, the message that I want you to get from this is to create your own fairy tale. Be realistic of how you can get there, but live your life, make it the best possible. And maybe one of the ways to do that is through one of my workshops. I look forward to connecting with all of you, and we will talk soon. All the best.